This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad with the shaking of the tuckers.
Now, from the new normal studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for six.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where we talk about the issues you really care about. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowtheftop.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, in a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And in this hour of the program, as we do every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have a visit from Adam Sachs, who comes to us in the guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, thanks for coming in.
Hey, great to be here, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's going on over there?
I'm here with the boys, man.
That's good.
Having a blast.
That's good. We like that.
So, you know, Tom, there's a classic thing that they take from any experience you have in life that goes a little weird. They call it a teachable moment. Have you ever heard this?
This is a great All the line. Time.
Yes. Well, I had a teachable moment, I think, at the listener party last week that I want to talk about briefly.
Really?
Yes. You know, I was with this, I'm sitting with my opposing counsel on a case, and in this case I was doing it was a woman lawyer, and she's okay. You know, we've worked on a few things together, and I'm sure she doesn't listen to the show, so there's nothing to fear from talking about this incident. But I was just talking to her, and somewhere in the middle of it all, I said something, Bubba, dear, like I called her the word dear. And I was thinking about that stripper you just talked to, and you started laying a little, you know, sweetie, my dear, and sweetheart to her at the end there. Anyway.
Honey. I called her honey.
Honey. You threw that in there. Anyway, so I said to this woman, blah, 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 okay, dear, and she fucking exploded with anger. Like you would not believe. Like we were talking fairly calmly with one another, and all of a sudden, man, she just freaked out. And I was kind of taken by surprise. It was early in the morning, you know, we're kind of in the hallway, there's cops walking around and all that stuff, you know? And I just tried to, like, calm her down, you know? I was like, relax, okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean anything by it. It's not an insult, you know? And it was like once I got her on that, the more I apologized, the more she freaked out, you know? You know that type?
I do.
I don't know if the boys were aware of this. And we talk about, like, how sausage was made, you know? But I was the one managing the Likettes at the party. And two of the Likettes freaked out, okay? And without being too specific, these two Likettes were, like, screaming at me, you know, yelling at me. And I really felt, Tom, that this was a teachable moment for the boys, and I really want to explain, okay? There's something in common with the face of this lawyer who's screaming at me when I called her dear and these two Likettes screaming at me about money, basically. And as a man, you can never trust a woman, Tom. You can never look in the face of this woman who is screaming at you, who hates you to the high heavens, and God forbid she's your wife, Tom, or your girlfriend, but particularly your wife.
Right.
It will make you wish you were dead. I'm serious.
Really?
There's no doubt about it. And it's something that like doesn't occur to you when you're on a date with a chick and you're like trying to get in her pants and all this so forth, you know, or, you know, during the beginning of a relationship when things are looking good and kind of optimistic or whatever. But sooner or later, you're coming to that place and you're going to be face to face with this fucking maniac. And it's unbelievable. And in the case of the Likettes, I was able to, you know, just give them some money and get them to like go away. But to have this woman, you know, up your ass with a power tool and her lawyer, you know, for years and years torturing you, there's nothing worth that, Tom. There's just nothing worth that. I don't even know what to say.
Well, all I'm going to tell you, Adam, is that one of those girls came to me.
Yes.
Made her way into the VIP area.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And started laying this on me. And I'm like, I didn't hire you. I don't know who you are.
How nice.
I think and then, of course, I did what I always do. I said it to Gary.
Yes, of course. Dump the problem on Gary.
Well, that, you know, Gary, like those guys in the mob, you know, Gary cleans up messes. That's what he does. Cleans up my mess.
That's, by the way, that's called a fixer, by the way.
Yes, and by the way, he was cleaning up your mess is what he was doing. Because I had nothing to do with that.
Well, Gary's my trusted producer, so of course he was.
Yeah,
we take care of each other here at the Tom Likas Show.
Yes. So did that go to Gary and then to you again? How did that
work? Yes, exactly right. I think she thought she was going to the top, so she went to you. And I think there were some threats about contacting law enforcement or something of the sort. And then Gary brought it to me, and we worked it out. So everyone was happy in the end.
Okay.
But it all worked out okay. No one was ripped off. It was all right. And the party went on. But I have to tell you, Tom, to have to look into that face. And it was interesting because, you know, as a man, you can't help yourself, you know. I was trying to talk to her, you know. And I knew her, and I had hired her, of course, and I had spoken to her before, and I'd spoken to her, you know, earlier in the day and also at other times. And I'm trying to talk to her like a normal person, and I'm saying it's like this and it's like that. And as I'm trying to be rational, she's getting more and more hysterical. And you realize, and this is really hard, but as a man, you have to realize this, that you know, a woman doesn't want to solve the problem. A woman wants to be upset. And if you try to calm her down and talk to her, you're only going to piss her off worse.
Because a woman wants attention. Women are attention whores.
Really?
That is what it's about.
Did you hear that, Gary? Anyway, I just was thinking of the things.
And they want
to do.
Money. Lots of money.
I think it's apparently money without work, Tom.
Well, you heard Lily last hour. You kind of get the idea of what we're dealing with here.
The interesting thing, and you know, what's fascinating is that, you know, you see that particularly like with Lily, like a young woman, you know, who starts looking really good, you know, and she's 18, 20, 24, whatever, you know, she's getting things for free. She's getting, you know, the best table. She's getting at the front of the line and so forth. And they really seriously believe that that's going to last forever and ever. And what you were saying to her, which was just adorable, Tom, you were saying how she should do that, go to the motel and think about things and all that.
Right.
Or she should save some money. The most you're going to get out of her is a kind of vague statement. I think this is one of your ex-wives or ex-girlfriends, about how she wants to open a flower shop or something. Or she wants to, like, start her own cosmetic business. Kind of, you know, very kind of disconnected from reality kind of plan. You know, not exactly any kind of...
I'm going to be a beautician.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really wonder, Tom, looking forward, what ends up happening to these women. Because they are going to get kicked out of the strip club at some point, right? When they're 30 or 32 or whatever. Has some stretch marks and so forth. And exactly what's going to happen to them exactly? Seriously. They're going to be bag ladies? I mean, is their multimillionaire boyfriend still waiting for them when they're 40 or they're 50 or whatever? It's very strange. And it's sad that they don't try to develop themselves in any way, you know?
Oh, no, I think it's hysterical because every girl who said no to you in high school, every girl who said no to you in college, eventually is going to be a three-chin wonder. And then when she turns 40, she's going to be looking for guys her age.
Right.
And the reality is she could have gotten guys her age when she was 18, 21. But when a man is 40, he doesn't need women who are 40. He can get chicks who are 25.
Right. So what's going to happen to her exactly?
You know what's going to happen. She'll be living on cat food and voting for Democrats, and that you know the deal.
They're putting the Rolex in her pussy, basically.
Well... that's one way of putting.
So, in general, you know, I'm fascinated by something also connected to this. I watched this movie the other day called The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I have that on my DVR. I think I'm watching that tonight.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I don't want to ruin it for you. But needless to say, things fall apart between him and his wife, okay? And there's an interesting thing where they get into this big blowout fight when they finally are going to separate. And she slaps him across the face, and he slaps her back and, like, knocks her over. And it's a very interesting analysis that I've had with various people that I've talked to. And what they're all saying is, I can't believe that he hit her, you know? And actually, she hit him first. Now, I'm not saying that it's right that he hit her back, but, you know, the fact that she slapped him is somehow okay, you know? like women are allowed to slap men, but if a man slaps back, then that's a big problem. And I actually, Tom, this week, you'll really appreciate this. I've been asked, you know, I do expungements, so I've had a couple of guys call me this week, just, you know, coincidentally, I guess a few this week, that were convicted of domestic violence, and they wanted expunged, which is a good idea, of course, and I, you know, I do this thing where I actually make the whole thing disappear like it never happened, and the guys just love it. But what's really interesting is that these three or four guys that called me for this are still all with the women that they were convicted of hitting. Isn't that outrageously amazing?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, I mean, of course, man. If my phone number is 911 at my house, okay, and some woman I'm living with or my girlfriend or my wife or whatever calls the police on me, and it's not just the cops and coming and giving us a warning. You know, they're supposed to make an arrest now by law. So they come, they arrest me, I'm in jail, I go to court, I get convicted of domestic abuse or whatever, and then I continue dating that woman? You got to be kidding me, right? You're kidding me. All right, continue staying married.
Why do guys put up with that? Because they're getting great sex.
Oh, come on.
They're getting great sex? Yeah, the chick that threw the remote control at me was a 10++. She was not just a 10. She was a 10++.
But you got rid of her after that.
I got rid of her after that, but the point is there were other incidents leading up to that.
Yeah.
That were heading in that direction.
Oh, I must have missed that.
And finally, she threw the well. I haven't gone into all the detail of it, but it just suffice to say, it had finally gotten to the point where she took this big, you know, this was, my God, 12 years ago. She took this brick of a remote control, the thing must have weighed 10 pounds, and flung it at me, and I sidestepped it, and it went right through my drywall. It went right into the wall.
You didn't, okay, that's crazy, but you disposed of her after that. If you told
I disposed
me
of her, but it, there were other incidents that took place before that where if I wasn't getting boned like there was no tomorrow, I would have had a lot less tolerance for that stuff. Today I have zero tolerance. If that stuff happens to me today, you're out the door. I'm not waiting to find out what happens. But in this particular case, I allowed certain incidents to take place that while they were not 911 calls, they certainly were heading in that direction.
All right, so with this incident with the remote control, that was not a cop's call, right?
No, because I knew, having already been arrested once for domestic violence, that if I called 911, I know who'd be getting arrested.
By the way, that's another fascinating thing. In the cases of these guys I'm telling you about this week, a couple of them actually called the police themselves. And they were dumbfounded.
How'd that work out for them?
I'm like, I can't believe you called the police. And they say, yeah, but she started it. And that, by the way, that's my reference to this movie. Because the wife strikes him first. But the point is that these guys called the cops, and the cops immediately arrived and arrested them. And they couldn't believe it. You know, people think when you're the one that calls the police, somehow the police are on your side or, you know, whatever. You're the guy. They're not gonna arrest the woman. They're going to arrest
you.
That's
right.
Please.
That's exactly right. I've been through the mill, so I know this. But, I know that when I was a lot younger, I might have believed that, oh, my God, look, I've got a bruise, and then they'd take her away. But I know that's not true.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's got to be that thing that we were talking about, that scarcity thing, because guys really seem to think that somehow if they let this one go, they'll never get another one. And I got to say, Tom, I really could not forgive a woman for having me arrested. I'm sorry. That I would really be I would really be broken up about that. I would never look at her the same.
No. Well, if you call 911 one time, it's the last time you're going to be calling. That's it.
You're done.
But the point is, if they don't live in your house and you don't let them stay at your house and you don't invite them into your home in any way, shape, or form, you're much less likely to be in a situation like this. If you're at her place and she calls 911, at least you can just get up and leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the minute you let her into your place, it's trouble afoot.
The other thing I got to tell you is that, you know, this is something that Gary and Dino were talking about on the news. When you're in jail, there is a pecking order, okay? And the guys that have been involved in domestic abuse or child molestation or anything family orientated are the lowest of the low. And I got to tell you, man, when you're standing in front of the judge and he's looking at you and he's saying, you fucking piece of shit, you hit your wife. How could you? You scumbag.
Right?
Oh, my God. And then sooner or later, you're going to be looking in the face of this very nasty lesbian and you have to apologize to her, you know, because she's running the seminar.
No, no, you don't have to apologize to her. You have to do more than apologize. You have to say, I was responsible. I did what I was accused of doing. That's what you have to say.
Yeah.
Take it from me.
Anyway, so the bottom line is the teaching moment.
I said I did it.
You did?
I lied.
The
thought of having to show up at this fucking industrial park in Van Nuys at 7:30 every Saturday morning for the rest of my life, not very appealing.
Well, he could have kept you there for another couple of weeks, right?
I didn't want to stay 1 minute beyond the amount of time I was there. It was just the biggest waste of time and money of my life.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, so my experience was very positive at the party. I really had a good time, and everyone told me they had a blast. We got a lot of great photos, a lot of stuff on Facebook and so forth. But those two faces will always haunt me, Tom.
Oh, my.
And it was actually, by any standard, you're saying, you know, in terms of paying them off, it was a bargain. I gave them a couple $100 and they left or whatever. I remember that thing.
Isn't that the way it is with women? You give them money to go away. That's how it works.
That. I was thinking about when you give the woman cab fare at 2 a.m, you know, you say, all right, thanks. If you make the mistake of having to come to your place, you know, of course.
Right.
But I was thinking about that line that Richard Gere said in Pretty Woman where he said, you know, I don't pay her for the sex, I pay her to leave, you know.
Right.
I think that that's.
And I love how women think that's such a romantic movie.
You know, it's really funny, by the way. I had women tell me, oh, my favorite movie, blah, blah, blah. Did you ever really think about what was going on in that movie? And by the way, it's very related to that lady, Lily, whatever her name was, from last hour.
Right.
The scene that they remember the most, which I thought was horrible, was when she's in the bath and they're doing eBay, Tom. They're negotiating how much he's going to pay her. And ultimately, he needs her to be his girlfriend for a week or something like that. And they agree to $3,000, and she's, like, squealing with delight, you know?
Right.
And these women are all telling me, well, it's such a romantic movie. It's so sexy. They had such a kinship and such a nice, you know, loving relationship, you know? She got to fuck Richard Gere, and she got paid $3,000 tax-free.
Right. Exactly. But women also think Bridges of Madison County is a romantic movie.
Oh,
a
God.
Married woman meets Clint Eastwood and fucks him on the side.
Well,
that's
of course.
So romantic.
Yeah, well, her children and her husband are at the swap meet, as I recall.
Right.
And she
exactly
she,
right. That's romantic.
She fucks him
and
the whole
Gone with the Wind. How about Gone with the Wind?
There's a rape in that movie. That's all.
No, the main female character is raped by Rhett Butler. And women think it's the most romantic thing they've ever seen. Oh,
yeah,
look how he raped her. That was so romantic.
They knew how to rape in those days, Tom, not like today.
Yeah, back then you took your woman. You took her, you dragged her by the hair, and you raped her. And then you married her. Make an honest woman out of her.
Yes, of course. Having defiled her. You defiled her first, of course.
Well, people say defiled. He made an honest woman of her.
It's really funny.
He raped her and then made an honest woman of her.
One of the things that amazes me the most, and particularly in the case of stalking, and you know that I help guys that get in trouble for being accused of stalking women. And, you know, one of the things is that if you look at some of the behaviors in movies, the guy is stalking the woman. I mean, if you actually did it in real life, you'd go to jail. You know, there's like a scene where, you know, the guy shows up at her wedding or whatever. Or he disrupts her wedding shower or she keeps telling him get lost and he keeps calling, you know, or he keeps showing up. And, you know, about halfway in the second or third act of the movie, she gets turned on and starts wanting to see the guy. But in real life, you know, the police would be involved, right?
Of course. You ever see the police in Gone with the Wind? Come on.
I let him see Red in handcuffs. How could you do that?
You objectified. I want you to arrest her. That man. His name is Red Butler.
He forced me. I was scared. He broke the door down.
That's pretty amazing.
The other thing, Tom, which you see, and this is also true in Pretty Woman, and you know this, of course, Tom, is where a guy gets involved with a stripper. or even a prostitute, some sort of a sex worker, and she falls in love with him, and they live, you know, happily ever after, and it's sort of like turning the whore into a housewife or whatever.
Right.
A lot of guys really do believe in that. They believe that that's possible. And you really have to understand that, and I think maybe this was demonstrated with that Lily person a little bit. A woman who associates making money with her body in that way, that's going to be a life-changing event for her. And she's not going to snap out of it and become a good wife and mother. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
Especially if you met her in the strip club, by the way.
You can't turn a hoe into a housewife, but we have many Captain Save-A-Hoes out there. We have at least one particular friend who has done exactly that.
Gary.
No. Gary knows who I'm talking about. The guy who flew in from the other side of the country to not only meet with a prostitute, but then, of course, you know, he's like trying to convince her to stop being a prostitute. Come on. Stop.
Right. So she can go get her master's degree and become a teacher.
Right.
Okay.
She could be the mother of his kids.
All right, and everyone else's kids.
Right.
The ultimate, Tom, which is just heartbreaking, and I told you I've seen this a lot with soldiers that get involved with strippers and so forth, and then they go on their tour to Afghanistan, and little wifey poo is like screwing the whole base. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I know. I mean, I really believe, just like I tell guys not to get married, they're going to get married. You got to have a girlfriend. Not to do it until you've achieved your dream. For military guys, you really shouldn't do it while you're in the military, so that you will not have women getting access to your benefits, not have women getting access to your front door key or any of that stuff.
I'm not sure, Tom. Yeah. Isn't there some kind of thing? I mean, maybe not when they start, but I think that when they start to get to like an officer level in the military, I think they want you to be married. I think it's necessary for, like, promotion and stuff. You're supposed to be the stable guy, you know?
They may want that, but guys should avoid it. They should resist.
Yeah. I think especially when they go on long tours. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, our grandparents, you know, Grandpa went to World War II for, like, 3 years or 4 years, you know? When you talk about it now, these guys are going to Afghanistan for 3 or 6 months or whatever, and the woman is cheating immediately. It's amazing.
Well, it's one of the sad stories we deal with all the time is these guys who live on military bases, they get deployed to Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere, and they come back and their wife or girlfriend is pregnant by some other guy on the base.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, Tom, the craziest thing of all, I'm sorry to say, which I guess is good for me in a way, is that I already had a few calls of guys that got arrested driving drunk home from the party, would you believe?
Well, not only would I believe it, you know, if anybody paid attention, I saw a cop car literally doing sweeps of the parking lot right next to the venue.
Yeah.
Now, if you see that, or if you, come on, I warned everybody about Hollywood. And right on the website and on the tickets that people were printing out, it told you, get a hotel room. Get a hotel room. Don't drive drunk. Get a designated driver.
Yeah.
Don't do it. But, of course, they do it anyway.
Yeah. I had a couple of guys already call me that got arrested on the way home, and I'm going to help them with DUIs and stuff. But it's not a joke, and it's cruel. It's a cruel reality. I think the cops know there's a party. They hear the music, and they know where to go where the clubs are, and they circle around like sharks. It's easy bait for
them. Well, by the way, we've got a lot of officers who are fans of the show.
Not criticizing the cops. They're doing their job.
Right. No, I'm just saying. We got a lot of them who are fans, and I think that's how they sometimes find out we're having a party, because they're tuned into the show.
They're cranky because they got to work, I guess. They didn't get the time off. Right.
Exactly.
Nice. Well, remember at the last party in Burbank, we had a guy who did have a hotel room, and he was walking from Casa Cabo to the hotel room and got arrested for being drunk in public.
How'd that turn out?
Yeah, we got that one thrown out.
Oh, my God.
That was a bit much. But being Hollywood and so forth, the guys that are calling me are more serious. These guys are actually, you know, drunk driving arrests.
How can it be legal to buy alcohol and not legal to walk home?
Or to have a parking lot next to the bar.
That one. Well, who had a bigger parking lot than Casa Cabo? That was like Dodger Stadium, that parking lot.
I don't know, man. I mean, if you have more than one drink, you're already over the limit, right?
Again, I don't think people should be drinking and driving. I don't. But,
I don't either.
when they are when they check in a hotel room, drop off their bag, walk to a party, have a few drinks, and then walk home, and they get arrested. You know, it's like you can't win.
I don't know, man. I don't know what they expect. I don't know what to say.
You know, we've
it.
Got
crazy.
Calls in the days before you came on when we had other people sitting in that chair. We had people calling in saying, after the party, I went out to my car and I went to sleep. And then there was a flashlight in my face and the cop arrested me for a DUI. And it's like, wait a minute, the guy was sleeping. It was more like an SUI, sleeping under the influence. He was in his car, sleeping, and was arrested.
I had a guy, he was a listener, who did the exact thing you're talking about. He actually said to me that he realized that he was drunk, and it was freezing. He got into the car, and he just fell asleep at the wheel, you know, like in the parking lot, and he had put the key in the ignition. The car wasn't started, but the key was in the ignition. And the cops said that, you know, he was, like, intending to drive. So that was a tough one.
Right? Right? I feel for all of these guys. And, you know, it's the same thing as those guys who, you know, their wife throws something at them, they call 911, and then they get arrested. The guys who, you know, try to do the right thing, go to the hotel and sleep it off, and they walk to the hotel, and then they get arrested. I feel for all these guys, all of them.
I really think that in the end, you got to recognize there are certain situations where you cannot win. And one of them is the circumstance of being with a woman in that way. And if your woman's crazy and hysterical, you can't, you know, grab her wrists and stop her. And you can't, you know, try to push her into a chair or something. You've got to just walk away. And when you talk about these circumstances, if they're no-win circumstances, then you got to just walk away and not try to win. Because a man's desire and rationality to solve a problem is going to be his worst enemy.
Well, you just have to accept what I always say, which is that this country is a vagina, and everything is geared towards women. Everything.
Oh, God.
Everything. TV commercials, the law, universities, go down the list. It's all aimed at women. If you call 911 because she punched you in the face, you're guaranteed that a cop is going to come over and arrest you.
Yeah.
Because you probably started. That's going to be the attitude, and that's where you're going.
What's cruel about it is about a year or two ago, there's actually something called the VAWA, which is the Violence Against Women's Act. And that's the basis of a lot of these laws, you know, nationally. And about a year and a half to 2 years ago, they actually strengthened that law, Tom. They actually said it was working so well that they made it stricter. So when you talk about the future of America, if you're saying it's one big vagina, if anything, it's only going to become even more so. Okay.
Well, again, that's why, boys, you just don't have them living in your place. You don't have them coming over your place. And that still doesn't eliminate all of the risk. What it certainly does, it's like a condom. It doesn't eliminate all the risk, but it reduces the risk.
I'm amazed at how many guys won't use condoms.
Yes, I know.
It's like a cavalcade.
But I'm amazed at the number of guys who like, they let women into their apartments, their homes.
No, they move in with them. What do you mean? Come on.
Step one, yeah, let them cross the threshold. What are you doing?
I was talking to just, you know, some of these women that were interviewing to be, you know, like guests and stuff. And, you know, that's like the story of all of them. They're staying with a friend. They're sleeping on someone's couch. I mean, if they go on two good dates with a guy, they're going to ask to move in with him, you know? And guys are like, you know, they can't believe their luck. You know, this hot chick wants to move into my place, you know? They're thinking sex on demand 24/7, you know?
Right.
They just don't realize what the reality is going
to
be.
Once a woman gets the key to your apartment, she's no longer required to give you sex. She got what she wanted.
It's not a joke. You really see that thing, you know, that they talk about in these, like, sales movies. You know, you got to get the person to sign on the dotted line or whatever, you know, especially marriage. But you'd be amazed at how many rights someone acquires when they move into your place, you know. And if you have a woman sleep over, man, you've got to go to court to throw her out. It's not funny. And she could do almost anything in the meanwhile, you know. She can start, like, you know, removing your furniture.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Too much.
Oh, we're going to take a break here. We have calls coming in. We're going to get to some of these calls coming up. Adam Sachs is here. He is here in the guise of criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. He's here to answer your questions, whether you've been accused of a DUI or a drug offense, whether you want to get something, you have those previous convictions. He will come in and just, like, erase them like they never happened. He will do that, okay? He can make that happen. Maybe you're accused of something really serious. Maybe you've been accused of something you didn't do. You really need an attorney. You can call us right now for some free legal advice. Call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is the telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Coslo Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Coslo. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965. Big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Coslo got the job done. Quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Coslo. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CosloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Coslo.com today. Coslo. COSTLO.
A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads and the broads and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck, in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy. New normal.
Fuck. Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 lister Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous pollo a la brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. With criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in a bonus hour. So if you're listening at about 6:45 on the West Coast, about 9:45 p.m. on the East Coast, this is a live bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, and your chance to call in and talk live with Attorney Adam Sachs. If you are listening to a replay, or if you're listening to our podcast and you want to call in live, Adam is here every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, let's go to our calls here at 901-3000-866. Bruce is calling from Inglewatts on the Tom Likas Show. Hello, Bruce.
Tom and Adam, always good to talk to you guys.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, thank you so
Adam,
much.
I want to ask you. Thank you. Yeah, I found this site on the internet about DUIs. It's fairdui.org. I don't know why it's fairdui, but anyways, it sounds like it's unfair, but it's fair. But anyways, here's the thing. They recommend that you print out this flyer with just a few sentences. They have one for different states according to the laws and so forth. Yeah. And I guess their thinking on it is that if you open the window, the officer can say, well, I smelled alcohol. The window was open, even if it's open a little bit. Or if you look at them, they can say, oh, your eyelids are droopy, or you know, they can make up stuff. But what they recommend is with this flyer, just a few sentences, and it basically says three sentences. I remain silent, no searches, I want my lawyer. Then underneath it says, it cites the vehicle code, I have to show my papers, not hand them to you. Thus, I am not opening my window. I will comply with clearly stated lawful orders. And they recommend just holding up the license next to the window and not handing it to the officer.
Okay.
And they got a couple of videos up there with people successfully, you know, using it through DUI checkpoints. But I just wonder what your take is on it. Because
wait. Correction. Correct people who said they successfully used it to get through a DUI checkpoint.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I saw the videos, but maybe, who knows what it was doctored. I don't know. But,
all right, well.
But anyways, I just wondered, there's probably different schools of thoughts on it, you know, what you should do, if you should open your window, how far you should open your window, should you look at the officer, shouldn't you look at the officer, you know, what you should do, and so on and so forth. And I just wondered what your take is on something like this, like a, you know, a flyer, like just holding it up.
Okay, well, anything that's, you know, trying to teach you how to be a lawyer is a bad thing, okay? You don't want to start making these judgments that only professionals should be making for you, okay? Broadly speaking, I've always said it's a big mistake to be a smartass or an asshole with cops. There's a limit and a difference between cooperating and being rational and reasonable and giving away the store, okay? It is not a good idea to talk to the police at all. It just isn't, in general. The thing that they say on television, everything you say can and will be used against you, is a great truth of life. And it's really important to shut up. Now, when
you
talk about...
You better believe it, baby. I like that.
What's that?
You better believe it, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
We got that?
The...
You got one of those
from your mouth? How am I hearing you laughing over there? Okay.
The thing is, I mean, I there's a thing called plain view, okay, which means that if the police officer is standing at the window of your car and he looks in with a flashlight and he can see an Uzi on the seat or a bong or whatever, I mean, you know, it's not like he searched your car. He could just see it. Okay,
right.
So you don't want to be stupid. You don't want to be leaving things around or whatever. I think at the same time, you know, cracking the window 1 inch and telling the officer up yours is a mistake. I think it's very smart to be reasonable. I don't think there's any reason that you can't say to the police officer, you know, roll it around halfway. Here's my license. Here's my registration. And when he starts, you know, peppering you with questions, you say, you know, I just really don't want to talk. I'm sorry. Not without my attorney present.
Right. Yeah.
And he's going to say, yeah, well, you're being a wise ass, and you know, you better cooperate. You say, nothing of the sort, officer. I'm not being a wise ass. I just don't have anything I want to say without my attorney. And he's going to say, okay, I want you to do a field sobriety. I want you to touch your nose and all this crap. No thanks. I really don't want to. And then he's going to say, well, you have to, and blah, blah. I say, no, I really don't have to, and I'm not going to, and I hope you understand, and I'm sorry, but I'm not doing it, okay? And ultimately, you're okay. You don't have to. What you're going to end up having to do is, and I've said this a few times, is you're going to have to probably go into the hospital and do a blood test. That is much better. It's much more accurate. The breathalyzer is notoriously inaccurate, and I think that that is the reality of where you're at. And when people start, for example, okay, I have a case just now where the girlfriend of the guy showed him her cell phone. The cop said, "Can I see your phone?" And she gave him the phone, and the cop was able to write down when some of the calls she made to him were, and was able to figure out more accurately the time of the accident, which is going to all be used against the guy. Okay.
Hey, Adam, let me ask you a question about that. Obviously, there were people who had two drinks, and they were over 0.08. And, if they delay the blood test, they don't do the field sobriety test, maybe by the time they get to the hospital, they're a 0.06, and they're off the hook.
Yeah.
But let's take one of those people we read about, or maybe some of our listeners have been this person. How about the person at the other extreme? How about a person who has had 8 drinks, 12 drinks, 16 drinks.
Standing up, Tom.
Are there different recommendations for that person when they are met by a police? If they can even remember your recommendations.
I don't know.
Would there be different recommendations for that person?
I don't know how much I can do for you if you've had 8 drinks. It would be amazing that you're standing, okay? But I have had too many examples of people that ended up doing the blow and getting 0.08, which is just guilty. Right over the edge, okay? And if they had gone for the blood test, which would have been another hour from then, plus more accurate, they would not have been guilty, okay? And when you talk about the breathalyzer, that machine is such a piece of crap. It's such a fraud. There was a whole scandal in Ventura County that they had to invalidate hundreds and hundreds of convictions because the machine was calibrated wrong and the software was wrong and all kinds of other ridiculous stuff. Plus,
let me stop you there and interrupt you at that point. That being the case, especially if you were way over the line, might you be better off using the breathalyzer and hoping you could beat it later rather than going to the hospital and having them prove for sure how drunk you are?
It's a piece of crap, Tom. I wouldn't touch it.
I understand that. But let's say you use the breathalyzer and then you went in and you were able to prove the breathalyzer is a piece of shit. I'm talking about the person who's really drunk and they know it.
I hear you, Tom.
Should they do the same thing and go to the hospital?
Well, I actually have a guy who is a scientist, and he's an expert on the breathalyzer, okay? And if you get convicted, if you get accused with respect to the breathalyzer, I bring him in, and he testifies about what I've been saying about the breathalyzer, okay? So it's possible that using the breathalyzer in that context can work for you. Okay, but I've got to tell you, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't touch it.
Adam, hey, I got to ask you another thing. Are you ever shed any light? I don't know if you can or not, but on the guys that went home from the party, what the situation was, or I mean, did they do the test, or I don't know if you're able to mention anything.
You talking about the Lycus party?
Yeah.
I had a couple of guys that just got straight, arrested afterwards. Literally, just getting into their car in the parking lot and driving home. I mean, absolutely. It's a cruel reality. It's the shark. They know people are coming out of a party. They know the Lycus party. They know that people are coming out of this parking lot and this club or whatever. And so they come checking out to see what's going on, and they, pull people over.
That's a big
as long as they
bill,
don't do it
sure.
in a discriminating way, they're allowed to do it, generally speaking. And the public supports that, so that's reality, man. You're not going to win against the cops, they're everywhere.
Yeah, can you take me out Hurricane Sandy style? That's my favorite.
I certainly can. Superstorm Sandy style. Here you go.
We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. Please, President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die.
There we go. All right. Let's try another one here. 901-3000 Tom for Attorney Adam Sachs. Chris in Santan Valley, Arizona. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey,
how
Chris.
You doing?
What's up?
Doing great.
And Adam.
Hey.
Great. I got a question for Adam.
Sure.
I have a 2009 conviction for possession for sales, and I'm looking at getting it expunged.
Oh, great.
Is that possible?
Of course. That's a great one, okay? We've talked about this before. There's some rumor somewhere that people believe that after 7 years or 10 years or something, it, you know, gets erased on its own. That is not true. It never does. It exists forever and ever in the computers and as your conviction. And it's lovely to do an expungement. If you have a case like you're
now,
describing,
Adam, you know why that would be, right? It's because people think of traffic tickets.
I think they think of bankruptcy, Tom.
Well, no, what
maybe that too, but I know with my traffic ticket, if I get a speeding ticket after a certain number of years, and that amount of years continues to get longer and longer, but after a certain amount of years, it rolls off for insurance purposes and what have you. So I think a lot of people think of that and apply it to all the other laws that are out there.
I think that when you go bankrupt, I think it stays on your record for 7 years, right?
But that's what I do believe, or it could be by now 10 years because there were some new laws that were made. But obviously, if you killed someone, hello, Adam, I murdered someone in 1979. I was wondering if you could get that expunged.
Yeah, all right. Great.
Well, for mine, I had, of course, a public defender. And what I was getting from them was that it's pretty much permanent. I cannot get it expunged.
No. When you talk about something like, you know, from 09 or whatever, if you've completed everything you were supposed to do, restitution, probation, whatever it was, and you've stayed out of trouble, it's not 100%, but generally speaking, I can get it expunged. And what's beautiful about expungement is it actually goes back to when it happened and erases it. So it's like it never happened. That's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
I got to say, Tom, No, I know. It's got to be. There's a couple of steps. If it's a felony, I have to first get it reduced to a misdemeanor. But I have to say that of all the things I do for people, you know, people kind of walk away and they say thanks or whatever. I have never gotten more tearful people and more happy people than people that get an expungement because it's like starting their life again. It's like literally, you know, being a virgin again, starting with a fresh slate. And people are so happy when I get that certificate, you know, which shows that it's gone. A lot of people have this thing hanging over them, and it prevents them from, you know, getting a gun license or hunting or getting a good job or getting a security clearance or whatever the people are into. And when you get that wiped away, they're just so happy. It's so wonderful to deal with that.
All right, we're going to take a break here with Adam. We'll come back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. Maybe we'll squeeze another call in here at 901-3000-TOM on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Do you need free legal advice? Call 901-3000-866.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything. Even groceries at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hey, where are you going to find songs you heard growing up that haven't been played to death by those so-called oldie stations? Pandorka? Stupefy? Yeah, problem. Nobody home. Give the new normal's Great Big Radio a try. GBR plays the hits that sound great and the non-hits you thought you'd never, ever hear again. The hits and the songs that should have been. New normal style. I'm Howard Hoffman, and you can yell at me live about our playlist weekdays at 4 p.m. East, 1 p.m. West. Not oldies. Oldies gone wrong. The New Normal presents
Great Big Radio
24/7 at greatbigradio.com. Tune in and the Great Big Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Your brand name is important to you, so it's important for you to protect it. SlamDunkDomains.com is where you need to start.
The guys at Slam Dunk Domains are experts in helping you protect your brand with top-level domain names, .com, .net, .org, and many more. Plus, they'll host your website and email right at the same place. Visit SlamDunkDomains.com today and enter coupon code TOM101 for a 15% discount on any purchase over $30. Let the guys over at SlamDunkDomains.com score for you and your business. SlamDunkDomains.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that's our telephone number. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free, and I answer my own phone, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com. And, of course, you can check my website, www.adamlawyer.com.
There we go. Let's take another call here for Adam Sachs here on the Tom Likas Show. This bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Here's Marcus in Washington, D.C. on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Tom, and hello, Adam.
Hello.
Hello, Marcus.
All right. So before I get to my subject, what does MAFIA spell? Are you fucking kidding me?
That was great, man.
I fucking died. I literally had to revive myself from that. But any case.
By the way, I suspected she would not know what that spelled, and sure enough, I was right.
Oh, God.
Jeez, man.
Fucking public school.
Oh, my God. All right.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, she thought she's going to start a club without having to deal with anyone unusual, you know?
Right. So here's the story I had to deal with in the past few months. I was in a situation in which my top secret SCI clearance was actually suspended and on the verge of being revoked. Now, I'll tell you the small summary of what happened. So I got this new job. The people who were there were most part assholes. You know how it is in the East Coast. And essentially, it was a lot of he said, she said. It wasn't nothing sexual, but it was just more just office politics, that kind of crap. Apparently, I got hit with the suspension stating that, well, we had concerns about your mental health and the conduct and all this other bullshit. Yeah. So, and without no explanation, without no warning, without no write-up. This is the federal government we're speaking about here. So what I did immediately, and this was during the federal government shutdown, so this actually allotted me some time in order to get an attorney together. And I'll tell you this, having an attorney is better than no attorney. Even though this attorney was mediocre at times, he wouldn't return my calls back. Eventually, I had to pester him to the point in which he actually got up his ass and did something, like did some real shit. Eventually, he had to go through several channels. We basically had, when he did do something, we had this particular agency, which I'm not going to mention, but let's just say it's an agency that's very well known for being intrusive in the lives of people. They have agencies that are well known for this at the airports. As I said, this same agency tried to do its best to hold up whatever process they need. Whenever we get the one person, they said, oh, you got to speak to this other person, and so on and so forth. Well, eventually he did all that. We went through the channels. I did what I was requested. I got everyone, this forensic psychiatrist, therapist, everyone stating that I was in no way a mental threat to myself, anyone else, nor to national security. And the past 3 weeks, I just got my security clearance back.
Thank God for that, man.
Yes.
Congratulations.
As I said, this attorney, who, in my opinion, was sort of a dick, but he did what he had to do. He took care of business, so I gave him props. But here's the thing about it. This is a sort of a story of mine, just to say that having an attorney on your side is better than doing it by yourself, because in this case, this was something that was tantamount to my career. If this was revoked, this would have been basically, this would have had me restricted from half the jobs in this area in general. So that was just something that I had to really, and this took a financial hit to me personally and myself. So I may have to take care of some options. Tom, I do want to talk to you on Friday WAP in order to see where I go from here, because this is basically the straw on the camel's back, is saying that I'm sick of this place. I'm sick of the East Coast. I need to get the fuck out of here. So,
all right, here we go.
Well, no,
I need to make a serious plan. I may have to move back in with my parents if need be. They said they're cool with it. I'm cool with it. I know how you are with people moving back in with parents, but I don't see myself living in the East Coast. I don't see rent money. I see rent money being a waste in general, and most of my friends are in other parts of the country. Anyway, back to the story. I got security clearance back. The second I walked back in, they were all fucking shocked. The manager, the supervisor tried to get me fired or have my suspension, whatever. He basically said, oh, well, you know, Marcus, let's leave this all behind. Let's get a new start. I said, yeah, we can get a new start as I get my back pay, to which I tried to get my attorney doing that. And apparently the people who were HR said, well, if we gave you back pay, we would have to give everyone else back pay. So I'm assuming I wasn't the only guy they tried to pull this shit off with. So you know what I did? And this ties into what you were talking about yesterday, Tom. Yesterday was my last day at that fucking position. I fucking left. I said, no more. I'm done. And I got myself a new job, which pays slightly more, but it's in within a group of people I know that are better off. I met these people personally, and the agency I'm working for is much better. It isn't some intrusive agency which is up your ass 24/7. And you know what? That you got to do what you got to do when it comes to these cases. So I'm saying, get an attorney, whatever it is, especially with cases like these. Get a damn attorney.
Yeah, no. That is what we always say here. Always. Well, I mean, 100% of the time.
You're always going to do better with a lawyer. And, you know, just generally speaking, it's hard to deal with your own case, even if you do know the law, because you get emotionally involved in everything. And, you know, when you're talking about what's on the line, is it some bullshit or, like, you know, is this like losing your child or your career? I mean, think about someone who's facing something like that. Like, you're talking about losing your security clearance and getting, you know, a completely different circumstance in your job. I mean, it's obviously worth spending some money on a lawyer, and you apparently had a mediocre lawyer, and it still was worth it, you know?
Marcus, so, thank you. No, we appreciate the call. I want to get to one more caller here.
All right.
Here's somebody who's not – calling from Alaska, and he's upset at how much it cost to prove himself innocent. Jeff, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Jeff, did I ever tell you I'm licensed in Alaska?
Excuse me?
I said, did I ever tell you I'm licensed in Alaska?
I did not know that.
Yes, I am. So what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you something. Maybe you can help me out, because I got put in kind of a crazy position. I was sleeping in my vehicle in the parking lot of a It was a bar, but it was also a hotel. And I had had a couple drinks, but it had been like 4 hours since I had those drinks. Ultimately, I was found not guilty on the DUI. Found guilty on a refusal to submit to chemical test. I appealed it because the jury instructions were prejudiced towards me. There was no way they could possibly find me innocent because I didn't blow in the thing. I told them I'm not going to blow in that thing because cooperating with you, and I'm totally sober. The field sobriety proved it. My attorney destroyed them in court. I mean, they even checked no order of alcohol, no slurred speech. I mean, they, like, shot themselves in the foot. It was totally a bogus deal. But the point is, I appealed that refusal to submit. And they dropped the charges. So, basically, I'm not guilty on all charges. However, it's cost me over $20,000 to prove that. It totally destroyed my job search situation for a couple of years, because the things that I do for career choices, I wasn't allowed to do. I have a Class A CDL with all the endorsements. I DJ in clubs and things like this. Couldn't go into any of those establishments. I couldn't get a job because they had to have a breathalyzer. They don't put them in commercial vehicles, on and on and on. This thing cost me so much money. Now, not only would I like to get it expunged off my record, but I'd like to figure out how I can go back and recoup some of that, because I was innocent, and I was also – I'm not just saying I was found innocent. I was actually innocent, charged on some bogus deal. It would cost me so much money to prove it. I'm thinking this system is completely corrupt, and the cops have way too much power. I mean,
right.
In my situation anyway.
Yeah, listen,
I
hear you. It's a cruel reality. I mean, obviously you can charge them with wrongful prosecution. There's a very famous matter, you know, before he was the big mouth mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani was a prosecutor. And it was a couple of examples where he went off after some big shots in Wall Street and arrested them instead of, you know, quietly on the weekend. He arrested them at their jobs, at the trading desks, and paraded them and humiliated them, walking them down Wall Street in handcuffs. And there was a couple of famous cases where those guys went to trial and were, you know, acquitted and were found innocent and not guilty. And there's a famous one where the guy was walking out and he said, you know, where do I go to get my reputation back? You know, where do I go pick up my old life and my old job? And the reality is that prosecution, when it's done rather overzealously, is a terrible, terrible thing. And that's why government power has to be controlled, because as you see, even when you're told at the end you're allowed to go home and it's okay and you're not guilty, you could have lost months or years of your life. You spent $20,000 in legal fees. It's obviously a very traumatic experience. And the prosecutor just kind of shrugs and goes on to the next case. And meanwhile, your life is ruined and disrupted. And so you can sue.
Exactly.
Well, you can sue the county or wherever you were at for wrongful prosecution and so forth, but that's generally very hard to prove. And that's one of the reasons that we have to be aware of police abuse and overzealousness, because when you have an agency in the government, like the police or like the FCC or other regulatory agencies that go crazy and start prosecuting people, it's very dangerous, and the power of the government is something that you have to regulate. It's scary when you hear all the time where people say government has to do more, government has to do this. I mean, what the government does is the government makes rules and laws and then, you know, puts people in jail for not following them. It's not a small thing. And so without going too crazy, I talk to guys like you all the time. It makes me very sad, but you definitely should follow up on getting some kind of redress from the people that wrongfully prosecuted you, and obviously for no reason, because obviously in the end, you were found not guilty.
Jeff, we'll put you in touch with Adam Dean. We'll talk to you. All right, one more time, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
No problem, Tom. Toll free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320.
All right, Adam Sachs here for a bonus hour every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, News for Guys of Gary's Dino.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, and get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's
yes.
Beer Magazine. New study shows an alarming number of instances of inappropriate sexual behavior among middle school students. Middle school students.
The tyrants are going crazy.
They appear to be going unnoticed by teachers and other adults.
Interesting.
Yeesh.
That means you can't trust the children to be alone. Look what happens.
The students reported instances like being slapped on the buttocks.
Oh, no.
Being rubbed against their bodies sexually or being forced to kiss another student.
Oof. Ooh, Nelly.
Much of the behavior happened in open areas, most commonly in hallways, classrooms, or gymnasiums.
It's a good time to be a student, isn't it?
Yeah. About 19% of students said they were victims of rumor spreading, verbal sexual commentary, or homophobic name calling.
Well, believe that.
This goes with the territory.
By the way, that's called social media. That's what happens.
For example, one student said, someone wrote on the bathroom stall that I was a skank.
Well, were they? Somebody tell me the truth.
Wow, what a deal. It's just too much.
On the bathroom wall. Right.
A South Carolina sex crime suspect.
Yeah.
Set himself on fire.
Whoa.
As an arrest warrant was being served by deputies.
I'll show you.
Larry Alvin Morris, 44 years old, surprised the deputies by emerging from a bedroom in flames.
Did you see the roof of his house?
Yes.
That's pretty funny. You could see the exact spot in which he burned. Right. It burned right through the roof.
It's all burnt in.
I have to give Larry Alvin Morris credit, because he just said, you know what? I done screwed up.
You enticed me.
You ridiculed me throughout my lifetime.
Yeah, he was in the back bedroom there, Larry Elvin.
He was. You could see exactly where he was. Yeah. Not a bad little homestead for Larry.
No, unfortunately, he survived, and he'll be charged with second-degree arson and 5 counts of attempted murder on top of the fact that he's a fucking pervert.
Our friend, not only is he cooked like a potato chip, he's going to be charged like a sexual deviant.
Right. An amazing deal, right?
Yeah.
You know, we talk about this all the time, how, child sex offenders don't fare well in the prison environment.
No, they don't.
Have an unbelievable example going on right now. You remember this guy, Jared Remy? He's the son of Jerry Remy.
Let me see, I'll tell you
baseball,
all about him.
Baseball player.
Yeah.
This guy is being accused of, I think he's accused of killing his wife. You just look him up. He's got a Wikipedia page that's unbelievable. Jared Remy. This guy has assaulted so many people in his life. It's unbelievable. So he's now in prison, and this child sex offender shows up, and our friend goes out of his way to assault him. What he does is he gets some boiling water and throws it in his face, then throws a bar of soap at him, and then beats the fuck out of him.
Wow, I wonder what the bar of soap part of it
is. It's a little weird. Right? The soap thing is weird.
The boiling water I get.
Yeah.
By the way, I think, let's see. Before, he used also a green plastic chair.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He whacked him over the head
with
a chair.
By the way, he learned that from Mike Timpson. Mike Timpson, by the way, if you notice, at the party, at Tom Likes' anniversary party, Mike Timpson was hitting people with a green plastic chair. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Right.
Showing him all his wrestling moves. Did you see him go off the top of the stairwell? Like, did a dive? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Swan dove right into some people acting up.
He said, I did what I had to do. I got a child molester. I had a plan, and I did it. I took water, boiling hot water, threw it in the guy's face, and I took a piece of soap and threw it at the guy's face and hit him with a chair. Once I slipped, I punched him in the face.
By the way, our friend Jared Remy, not to be conferred, confused with Renner, Jeremy Renner.
Yeah,
I'm already confused.
Yeah.
He has one of those terrific neck tats, and
right.
I'm dying to see what it says.
He's one badass murderer, and
he's something else.
Even he, there's somebody lower than that apparently.
Yeah.
The child molester.
Yes, Jared is upset over the whole thing.
Investigators say he actually struck Hodges, that's the guy, the child molester, with the chair 5 times.
Four wasn't enough.
Overhead swings.
Yeah.
Got the job done, dude. Wowza. Pick alerts for you up until this time. Unseen pictures of Sofia Vergara.
Yes, these are amazing. I'm very satisfied with this find.
That's good for you. Yeah, satisfied is one way of saying
it. These are a young Sofia Vergara. Actually, she's one of those broads. It doesn't matter, older, younger. Only the bathing suits change, the styles change, but the broad stays just as hot.
Yeah, it's like she was mature for her age back then, but almost looks young for her age now. Like,
do you think she got
change.
Implants? Because I'm looking
41,
back in the day,
though.
And it's not.
Yeah,
they don't look as big.
No, she did. Come on.
She's good.
Definitely.
Man.
I know. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show for you every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Devin Bronson is back with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the black box. And I've got to tell you, I own a black box, have it at home, use it at the ranch regularly. We've got a black box in studio. All the guys have one. We all love it. But what's interesting about the black box is you don't have to use it at home. You can take it on the road with you as well.
Absolutely. This is the rock and roll portable audio system, so it's not only used at home. It can be used in your car. It comes with a 12-volt adapter, so you can power it, take it to tailgates, at concerts, take it in an RV when you go camping, anywhere you want to listen to music.
Now, this is not made like one of those iPhone docking stations, all plastic, lousy sound. It's a big, booming device.
Plastic audio docks always break, and they always distort, for me at least, and I hated that about those. So I wanted to make something that was different, make it out of wood, make it out of metal, durable, have a next to nothing distortion ratio when you crank it all the way up.
Now, how can someone get a black box?
You can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com and enter promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
That's bnaudio.com. Mention the promo code Tom and get 20% off. You are going to love the black box.
This is the new normal.